Welcome back to the program. It is The Extra here on KRDO News Radio. It's 9:36 Tuesday morning. Happy to have you along. I'm Paul Richards, your host, and our guest for this half hour. You know, we talked to Bill Federer yesterday, historian extraordinaire, because he was appearing at the Breaking the Silence conference at Church for All Nations. And so it is again today. Devi Chavez is with us, associated with Colorado Family Action and also with Citizen Link, Focus on the Family, Alliance Defending Freedom, Family Research Council. CFA is at the center of a national, state, and local alliance, uniquely positioned as a catalyst for the advancement of cornerstone values. That's quite a mouthful, Debbie. What's it mean?
That is a mouthful. Well, actually, so what we do, we're a family policy council. We look at policy that happens in our state. That means at the state level, local level. We want to see how it affects family. We want a healthy environment for families.
Healthy environment for
families. Right. So we associate with these national organizations like Citizen Link, who's the policy arm of Focus on the Family.
Right.
And we look at Family Research Council, Alliance Defending Freedom, that cares about religious freedom. They do at the national level what we do at the local level.
So let's talk about how the conference has gone so far. We're on day three now, Sunday,
right.
Monday, Tuesday. How's it gone so far?
It's amazing. We have a packed house. We have people that are very passionate about standing up for what they believe to be true.
Right.
And what we see, you know, we hear this term political correctness that tends to bring silence to people. But you know what it is? It's propaganda. And it's saying, your truth offends me. So I want you to be quiet about your truth and maybe find some words that don't mean truth. And you can speak those.
Well, and as George Carlin said years ago, the more syllables you add, the more you dilute the meaning.
Ooh, I like that.
And I think it's really true. I mean, he uses the example of, say, shell shock. You know, that's
right.
What they called it in World War II. And now we've gotten all the way up to post-traumatic stress disorder. That's a lot of syllables, means the same thing.
Yeah.
And I think if we still called it shell shock, that a lot of these guys would still be getting the help that they need.
Right.
That's a whole other show. So, talk to me about the conference. You've had some panels. You've been the moderator of these panels?
I have. What an exciting time. So yesterday was especially exciting. We had two panels where we talked to millennials. That's 18 to 34-year-olds. These
right.
are the up-and-comings that really have a passion for what's going on. They're keenly aware. They get technology in a way that we don't.
Right.
So they are on top of things much faster than we are. This is the first generation to be raised on a schedule. These kids know how to check the boxes and get things done. So as we talked to them, I felt like I'd learned more yesterday than I've learned in years.
Really?
From these young kids that actually are reaching out to our generation. We hear about a generation gap that's going on. They don't want a generation gap.
So they want to be our kids.
They want to be our kids. They want us to be in their world. They want us to walk side by side and help them do what they want to do. They want our advice.
Well,
I was amazed.
Well, and they are the most now sought after demographic.
They are.
By advertisers and by companies as well.
Right.
And so they do have a lot to teach us.
Well, and you know what else? They don't want to speak unless they know they're speaking truth. So you know what they said in this panel that really shocked me? They said, don't be fooled by social media. Don't go and try and blast your opinion on social media. This needs to be about relationship, and you're foolish if you think you're touching people. And then they looked at me, and I tell you, you know what they called me? They called me a boomer. And I said, oh my gosh, here I've been calling you a millennial, but as soon as you called me a boomer, I felt like you were swearing at me.
Yeah.
So, and I realized then, we've started putting all these categories that this generation is saying, stop doing that. You're segregating us again.
Well, and we heard all the bad things and bad things and bad things about the Gen Xers.
Yeah.
And then the millennials come along, or Generation Y, and then the millennials,
mm-hmm.
I guess, is kind of how it went. So these kids really have something to offer, don't they?
Oh, my word. Do they ever. So this is what's really cool. So the boomer generation was supposed to be the generation that really paid attention to policy, and they were politically savvy. Guess what? This generation is also politically savvy, and they pay attention to policy.
Well, and they're going to need to.
Right.
Because as the government continues to expand its sphere of control, they're going to be the ones who are going to have to take that government back.
Completely. Yeah. And they're ready to do it. And they know how to unify. One of the things that one of these millennials said is, she said, you know, if you get one of us, you get our 20 friends. Because we rise up millennial leaders much quicker than your generation rose up leaders. So find those millennial leaders and they will bring their friends.
Yeah. That makes perfect sense.
Doesn't it?
They travel in herds.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, they're brilliant people.
Well, and I think the whole Facebook thing and the whole social media thing is very important because, you know, you can get so caught up in that, especially
mm-hmm.
for someone who's been raised with technology like that. You can get so caught up that, there is nothing else. The social media is my life.
Right. Well, and this is where millennials, though, have caught on. You see how they flit from one type of social media to another. I mean, they were naming ones that I've never even heard of because it moves so fast.
Right.
And as they were doing that, they said, that's why we don't rely on anyone. And they said, however, you guys move a little slower than we do.
Yes, we do.
So by the time you catch on to the first one we were trying, we're on the seventh one.
Right.
So we need to not be so foolish. I mean, when you're lazy, you don't get to know people and know what they like. And so we, as the older generations, need to quit being so lazy and figure out what these people like.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. And we need to figure out where they're going to fit into society as we move forward here.
Well, and it's that key component, relationship.
Right.
Which sometimes it's easy to avoid because you have to put some skin in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But this is where we take that next step, put the skin in the game. And I got to tell you, I was humbled because one of the young men on our panel, I believe he's like 20, 21, amazing guy, his name's Zach Yoakum. So Zach reached out to me. Because he wanted to get to know me rather than me reaching out to him. I'm a mom, for crying out loud. I have 7 kids. I know how to deal with kids. And I didn't reach out to him. He came to me.
That is very cool.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it shows that they want the guidance they're going to need to make their mark in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're doing it well.
We're going to take a short break. Kamal Saleem is going to be calling in. We're going to talk to him. He is a former jihadist. He did his first mission into Israel at age 7. But his life turned around. We're going to talk to him coming up, more with Debbie Chavez as well. We're all talking about the Breaking the Silence conference going on at the Church for All Nations, and you can still register with BreakingTheSilenceConference.com. We'll be back with more right after this here on KRDO News Radio. Stay here. Welcome back to the program. It is The Extra here on KRDO News Radio. Thanks so much for being with us this morning. It's 9:47. We're going to be talking to Kamal Saleem, one of the featured speakers at the Breaking the Silence conference. We'll be talking to him in just a minute. But first, I want to go back to Debbie Chavez. Deb, I wanted to ask you about a panel that's coming up called Reclaiming the Nation. What's this going to discuss?
Actually, so this panel's on Wednesday.
Okay.
And that's going to be in the morning on Wednesday. We're going to go ahead and we're going to talk about what does it look like specifically to take steps to reclaim that nation. And, you know, what we see is it's working in tandem with all of the other people that are out there. How do you figure out where to plug in? What does it look like if you maybe are very limited on the time that you have?
Sure.
What's your role going to be? So we're going to break that down piece by piece.
Well, I'll tell you what, emails and just showing up to a council meeting now and again can carry a lot of weight.
Isn't it incredible how your face being in the audience makes a difference?
It doesn't take a whole lot, really.
No,
not at
all.
If you can focus your efforts.
Absolutely.
And people will listen if you start speaking up. Also wanted to ask you about Bishop Lawari. He's coming in from Uganda.
He is coming in from Uganda.
And tell me about him.
Actually, he's already here. So Bishop Lawari has made an investment in people so that he could actually carry influence to government in Uganda. So same mission. We want people to understand what the importance is of the family design, the family unit, and what that does for progress in your nation, what it does for stability, what it does for mental capacity. There are so many things that it opens up. So he made that investment, started off with prayer,
right,
built this whole network of prayer, and then built reliability because he kept his word as he moved within this leadership realm. So now he has access to be an advisor to leaders in the country.
Well, and obviously Uganda has kind of turned things around from being on the brink back when we were kids.
Yes.
To now being a respected member of the African community.
Right.
All right. Let's head to the phones. Kamal Saleem joins us. He is one of the presenters at the forum as well. Kamal, it's wonderful to speak to you. I appreciate you taking the time. How are you this morning?
Thank you, Paul, for having me. It's awesome being with you. And we're having a great time here at Church for All Nations with Breaking the Silence Conference. Come on, y'all, and join us. It's an amazing time. So much to learn.
And yeah, and tell me what your message is, Kamal. Tell me what you have been teaching people while you've been here.
Well, my message is a message of redemption and hope. You know, I came to destroy this nation. I came as an Islamist, and God got hold of me, and I turned around. He turned me around, really. And today is my heart desire is to wake up what America is going through and in, and how the Islamist infiltration, the radical Islamists, have set on the 7 mountain of influence of our nation and shifting our nation to the point that are about, you know, to change, radicalize this nation with Sharia law and what's ahead. But our second part is to reach to the Muslims and bring those, you know, the good Muslims that they're out there waiting for somebody to knock on their door and tell them there is hope for you and reach them, you know, in the promise that God gave, you know, to humanity.
So they need a beacon of hope.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's talk about one of the things that we talked about with Bill Federer yesterday. He's a historian, as you well know. I know you know him. And one of his things, one of his topics was we talked about the Muslim takeover of Europe and whether or not that's going to happen here. What's your view on that?
Well, I was part of that invasion. Mine was in the 70s when we were in Europe. And our work is the stealth jihad. And our job is to, you know, I was not somebody who read a book. I was the book that has been written. And when I was sent there by the Saudi Arabian government, by the prince, the royal family, our job is to establish Islamic civilization within Europe. And by birthing rate, jihad birth, jihad of the womb, we can populate Europe. As you know, the birth rate, you know, in France today is 1.8%, and the Islamic rate is 8.1%. So for any nation to withstand and sustain its culture, it has to have at least 2.11%. And so Europe is declining, and Islam is coming in and filling the gap, you know, and radical Islam taking the moderate and converting them to radical to the point today that the Muslim don't want European ruling anymore. They want Islamic ruling, and they want Europe to be an Islamic state. So we see in France today that they are exceeded the 5%, and at that rate, they can start socializing the culture and intimidate the culture, even to the point that the French government is changing and bending for them. In Europe, in England, they have about 42 no-go zones. These were Muslim assimilated. Right. They build the mosque. They put the Islamic centers, which is Sharia law courts, and they put Islamic schooling. And now the English government could not enter those places without permission. Over there, it's a third world country in the Western advanced 21st century civilization. And there, over there, a man can marry four women. A woman could be honored, you know, be honored by killing, you know, killing her if she disobeyed her husband. Over there, the law is not, you know, English law. It is an Islamic law. Well, and right now, they're trying to establish the same thing in the United States.
And Kamal, I wanted to ask you, when I was talking with Bill Federer yesterday, he did mention the term cultural jihad. Now, was that what you were involved with?
Absolutely. Cultural jihad is even darker than 9/11. 9/11 destroyed nearly 3,000 people, and the people, they're not dead. They lost families and loved ones. These are by the thousands. But cultural jihad will destroy the civilization. And the way it's done, it is to engage this culture and use this culture by the hand of the American people, where you raise and rise up in the American culture and turn them against their own people. So you create a great divide and create great clash where the culture start becoming undone and Islam will become a solution.
That's pretty amazing, Kamal. And this is coming from on high, correct?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. This is United States been under attack by the Muslim Brotherhood, which is, I was part of the group. I was recruited in the mosque by them. And, you know, that's what the mosque does, recruit, you know, moderate and turn it to radical. Right. Just like what happened to Newland in Oklahoma City. You know, he was radicalized and he beheaded one woman and he was trying to behead the second one
right. When
he was shot. But this is what we came for in the 1960s, my predecessors, and I came in the 80s to do the same thing and change this culture. We handed from one to the other to change the culture little by little.
Well, Kamal, I can't thank you enough for calling in this morning. I look forward to talking to you again real soon. I hope you can take the time. Enjoy the conference, and I look forward to talking to you again here real soon.
Paul, thank you for this, but I want to just say this. I'm really saddened by the unholy alliance treaty that we made with Iran, and I'm really saddened what's going to happen in the Middle East. This is just by what this current government has allowed.
Well, and I don't think, Kamal, that we're going to see the Iranians hold up their end of the deal, but we'll probably never know.
Paul, if I may say this, when the Middle East lights up very soon and they start hitting each other, Sunni and Shia, where do you think the flood of refugees is going to come?
Well, there's
the United States of America.
I was going to say, there's no place else left but here.
That's right, and they're going to be by the hundreds of millions.
Well, Kamal, thanks for the warning. I appreciate it very much. We will look forward to talking to you again. Thanks very much for the time. You bet. We'll do it again. Debbie, thank you so much for coming in. I appreciate you coming in as well. Best of luck with the conference. And we have, one more day, today and tomorrow, right? And you can still sign up. It's free, but you need to go to BreakingTheSilenceConference.com to sign up for one of the sessions and go and enjoy. It's going to be a great time, very much worth your while. All right, Tom Martino, Troubleshooter, up next here on KRDL.